There are folks that would say you have to be crazy to believe in a God that created this world. You'd have to be crazy to live a life sold out to God because you believe that he really did create us and design us for a purpose. We're going to look at the Hall of Fame today of people of faith. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Hebrews. Hebrews in the New Testament. You can go ahead. It's at Hebrews 11. I think it's page 1016 of the Burgundy Bible. If you don't have a Bible of your own, we put these in the seats so everybody can have one. Feel free to take one home with you if you don't have a Bible of your own, because we want everybody to have a Bible that they can read from. And so we'll be reading from this together. So go ahead and turn there, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. It'll be the New Living Translation. And in Hebrews 11, what we have is we have this chapter where God is going to give us insight into all these people in the Bible and their faith, their walk with him, and some insights into what that looked like. And what I like about it is ordinary people doing extraordinary things through the power of God. And I hope that today everybody in here will be encouraged and inspired that you could be in that list as well, that you could be listed 2,000 years from now in the Hall of Faith. Let's read together starting in verse 1. It says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, because faith starts right here. All right, let's pray. Lord, in these seats today are people from all walks of life, Lord. And we're coming to you, Lord, and we're asking that you would increase our faith today. Lord, you say if we just have the faith of a mustard seed, and yet sometimes, God, it's hard to even muster up that much faith. It's hard to even believe and walk the path. But God, I believe that you want to light our fires today with faith. I believe that today, God, you want to encourage and strengthen and show us how big you are. And I pray, Lord, just like in the first service, I have people come to me afterwards and go, you know, the Lord's been dealing with me with this, and I think I need to step into it. Lord, we know we can't do things apart from you, but Lord, with you, all things are possible. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If you got your listening guide, go ahead and pull that out. What we do is we kind of follow along in the listening guide, and it just gives you a way to kind of stay and focused on what we're teaching, and then you could follow up later on as well if you want to go back and study the passage. So the first thing I want you to see is that faith begins where our human ability ends. It begins where our human ability ends. Faith is called faith for a reason. If it was what we could do in our own power, that's not faith. Faith is when we believe in something bigger than ourselves, something that we can't accomplish on our own. And it says here that faith begins at the creation. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Faith starts right there. The idea that you were created by an almighty God that designed your body for a purpose. Now, the longer I do what I do, counseling people, praying with people, going to hospitals, sharing people the good news of Christ, the more amazed I am at the complexity of what God's created. Whether it be the fact that we had snow 3 days ago and now we got sunny and 60 and the beauty of that change. Or whether it be the person I talked to this week that's having heart surgery and he was explaining to me of all the different things that have to happen and how this doctor's got to go in and got to widen this artery or whatever he was trying to tell me. It was way over my head. But here's what I knew. When he got done explaining it to me, the physician, with all the knowledge and all the technology we have in this world, could only help what God's already created. He couldn't create something better than what we already have. He could only help support what God's already designed. Now, think about that for just a minute. It's the same with our eyesight. It's the same with our internal organs. as intelligent as we are, and I think most people would say we are at the height of accomplishment as people. We have more technology. We can figure things out. I mean, nowadays people go in to get a stent put in their heart, and they're outside the door in 24 or 36 hours. You used to have to stay in the hospital for like a week, right? We are at the height, we're at the pinnacle. But even at the pinnacle, all we can do is help what God's already created. That's because God is the ultimate designer. He is the creator, the author, and the finisher of all things in this world. And faith starts with God, believing that he is who he says he is, that he'll do what he says he can do, and that he is all powerful. Well, that's where our ability ends, right? We can't do anything in certain times, and that's where we need that. And verse 2 says, when we live out this faith, as the people of days of old, we earn a good reputation. I think the world wants to see more people who truly believe that God can do the impossible. I think generation today, the millennials, I think they're looking for people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s that so radically believe that God is who he says he is, that we're willing to live and die for what we believe. That we're willing to give up the American dream to serve others. That we're willing to forgive even those that have hurt us deeply. That we're willing to love those that are hard to love. And I ask you today, do you really have that kind of faith? Now, Jesus says you just need the faith of a mustard seed. You ever seen a mustard seed? If you take the end of your ink pen, those river pens, aren't those the best pens ever? I'm just saying, those things never stop writing. And here's what I want to give you permission to do. Take those home, and the next time you go out to eat, just leave it on the table for your server. Bless them with a good pen that never stops writing. And I love it when I go to pay for something, and the pen they hand me is from the river, and I'm just smiling. They're like, nothing. You know? Anyway. Whoa, where was I at? Sorry, bird. Woo! Okay. What was I at? Somebody help me. Faith. Mustard seed, thank you. That's how I got to the pen, which led me to the server, which led me to the... Okay, sorry. People wonder why I have notes, right? So the faith of mustard seed. The mustard seed is about the size of the end of your ballpoint pen. And God takes that seed and he grows it into a full tree, the mustard tree. And Jesus used that as an example that if we'll just have that little bit of faith, God takes that little bit of faith and he makes it move mountains. So it's the idea that when I came to know Christ, I didn't know everything about the Bible. I didn't know everything about God. I didn't have all my answers. I didn't know that there was a creation or evolution conversation. I knew that the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, God is real. Will you believe? And that day I had the faith of a mustard seed to say, yes, I believe. That was my step, right? Okay? And so faith begins where our human ability ends. Verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. That what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. That's the power that only the Almighty God has to create something out of nothing. Augustine was a great leader, a teacher, a pastor over 1,000 years ago. And his statement is that what is faith unless it is to believe what you cannot see? How many times is it that God prompts our heart to do something and we just can't see any way it could happen. And so we shrink back in fear. God wants us to believe in what we can't see through his power and his ability. Romans chapter 10 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing from the word of God. I believe that if you want to increase your faith, people say, Steve, how can I increase my faith? First thing I tell them is read your Bible. Spend time in the word every day. And ask God to show you the faith of others and what you can learn from the faith of others. And then you could even start with Hebrews 11, okay? Because we're about to walk through and see examples of faith from 5 different folks in the Bible. And what you're going to see is they're everyday normal people doing supernatural things because God leads them, equips them, and directs them. So, second thing, through faith in God, normal people do extraordinary things. Through faith in God, normal people do extraordinary things. Verse 4 says this, it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. Okay, now, what is it that got Abel in this long list of people with faith? Did he part a Red Sea? No. Did he heal somebody? No. Did he raise somebody from the dead? You know what he did? He dropped a check in the plate. That's it. He gave an offering to the Lord that was from the heart. He gave an offering to the Lord that was a sacrifice. He said, Lord, I want to give you my best. And the Lord saw that faith. And Abel made it in this list. It just blows my mind. But it doesn't just stop there. Look at the next one. Look at verse 5 and 6. We're going to look at Enoch. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. So here was Enoch's big act of faith. He believed in God and he sincerely sought after him. Enoch makes the list of faith not because he was the father of a great nation, not because he led the people out of Israel, but because he had sincere faith. So I want to stop there for just a second, just say to you, you should be in this list. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you have placed your trust in him and you're walking with him, you should be in this list. This is your list. You are a person of faith. Now you may go, well, Steve, I can follow Jesus sincerely, but I don't know that I could like be like Moses and part the Red Sea. And I would say to you that if you're walking day by day with God, when that time comes and he needs you to do the supernatural, where God guides, he provides. Where God leads, he equips. And if you'll be faithful day in and day out, he will use you to do things that could only be explained as his power. For me, I've got to be in the Word daily. I got to be reading daily. I got to be getting that in my mind and remembering that God is big, because the world wants to suck it out of you. You know what I'm saying? We see the trouble on TV. We see the problems in our nation. We see the problems in the world. And the world will suck the spiritual life out of you if you'll focus on that. But if you'll focus on God and you'll focus on his teachings, you'll remember the promises of God in those tough times, and you'll lean into him, God will supernaturally equip you to be ready for whatever comes before you. I look out in this room right now, and I see heroes of faith. I see people that had enough faith to step up and say, you know what, I want to serve in the children's ministry because I think I can help. I see people that have stepped out and said, you know what, I want to use my gifts and talents to work with youth. And God's used them. I see people that have stepped up and said, you know what, I want to help with children that are abused. And God is using them. I see someone out there that started a ministry to target kids that like airsoft so he could share his love of Christ with them. I look out and I see people who where they live, work, and play, choose to be a light, an example. And that's what God calls us to. And so I would say to you, just take a moment and think, am I in the list of faith? Am I in the Hall of Fame of faith? If you are sincere in your faith in Christ, maybe you'll get this thing that Enoch got, who got sucked into heaven one day. Could you imagine that? How cool would it be if you step out on faith and you like start a Bible study in your place of work at lunch, and everybody's like laughing at you like, oh yeah, Steve, like God's really real. And all of a sudden God just goes, okay, Steve, I'm going to suck you into heaven in front of your friends. You know, there's a good chance. It's like, hey, I told you. See you, guys. How awesome would that be? I mean, I'd be like, man, God, why don't we do that a couple times? That might help stir a little spiritual revival right there, huh? Well, that's what happened to Enoch. For whatever reason, God said, Enoch, I see your sincerity of heart, your righteousness. And he took Enoch straight into heaven. Pretty awesome. Or verse 7. It says, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never happened before. By his faith, Noah condemned the rest of the world, and he received the righteousness that comes by faith. Has anybody been to the Creation Museum and where they built the ark up there now? I mean, they've got a real life-size ark up in, it's either Kentucky or is it across the border in Ohio now? It's in Kentucky. It's up by the Creation Museum. They built a life-size ark. I haven't got a chance to go. I can't wait to see it. I mean, they literally went to the trouble to build it as an exact replica. And when you see it, I hear it's just overwhelming the size of it. Okay? Now, imagine building that in your front yard and taking years to do so. Could you imagine the snide remarks of your neighbors? I mean, if I leave my car up on jacks overnight, you know, I just picture them driving by going, oh, that taboo. Yep, he's got his car up on stilts again, right? I mean, I got like 20 bicycles from our family where we ride bikes, and I just wonder, do they think I like buy and sell those things? Because they're all along the front of the house. Just imagine an ark, you know, about the size of a football field, right in front of your house. And it says here, the God who warned him about things that had never happened before. So maybe what had never happened before was this flood. Maybe what had never happened was rain. Whatever it was, Noah's building this boat in a place that he could never drag it to water. You've got to imagine that people all around him were making him the brunt of every joke. And I will tell you, if you follow Christ and you have faith, there are plenty of people around you that will be mocking you. There will be plenty of people around you that will think of you as a fanatic. But I think if you read the scriptures, all the folks that walked in faith were thought of as fanatics. You're a little bit off the bubble there, Taboo. That's me. My last name's Taboo. Sorry, that may freak out. My last name's Taboo. But I've had people say that to me. It's like, you know what? I'd rather be a little bit off the bubble, a little bit off the norm, than to settle for less than what God has for me. I want to hear from him. I want to know him. And these men and women of God, that's what they did. They sought after God. George Mueller, one of my heroes of the faith, who started an orphanage that ended up having hundreds of children provided for in a time where money was scarce, said this. He said, God delights to increase the faith of his children. I say it deliberately, trials, difficulties, and sometimes defeat are the very food of faith. We should take them out of his hand as evidence of his love and care for us in developing more and more that faith which he is seeking to strengthen in us. Here's what I've seen in my life. God takes the little thing he nudges me to do. So let's say you're in the supermarket and the Lord kind of nudges you and says, I want you to offer to carry that stuff out to the car for that person. And you're like, Lord, that's awkward. They can handle it. They don't really need it. And you say no. I think that you've just shrunk back. And then God can't give you a task of something bigger. It could be that that person has a family member who's older in the car and they really do need help getting it out there. And they may look like they're perfectly healthy and you feel awkward to ask. But if you'll obey, you might be the answer to their prayers as they're thinking, how can I get all this stuff out to the car and take care of my senior adult mom or dad when I get there? I don't know how I'm going to do it. And they might have just lifted up a prayer. God, I know this is silly, but I really need somebody to help me, and I'm too embarrassed to ask. I'm just saying that we oftentimes think about building the ark, but it could be something as simple as the Spirit of God nudging you, saying it's time to forgive that in-law, that family member that stabbed you in the back 20 years ago. That may be your act of faith today. It could be something as simple as it was for me in college when the Lord began to convict me of sin in my life and going to the person that I had sinned against and asking forgiveness and feeling like a complete moron because they didn't even know it happened. It could be something as simple as the Lord nudging you, saying, turn away from this sin, this habit that you have that's pulling you away from me. It could be something as simple as saying, yes, Lord, I'll turn away. And it may not even be sin. There are times in my life that the Lord has spoken to me to give things up, that were not sinful at all, but to give them up for a season that I might focus more on him. When it comes to faith, it's not all about building an ark or setting people free from the Pharaoh. Sometimes it's about just doing the right thing. So, Noah had that kind of faith. I believe God wants us to have that kind of faith. Look at Abraham in verse 8 through 10. It says, it was by faith that Abraham obeyed when God called him to leave home and to go to another land that God would give him his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith, for he was like a foreigner living in tents. And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise. Abraham was confidently looking forward to a city with eternal foundation, a city designed and built by God. Here's what's interesting about Abraham. He never saw that promise fulfilled in his lifetime. He never got to see the fulfillment of all that God promised him. God may put something on you, and you may go and run after it and attempt it, and you may never even see it fulfilled in your lifetime. It may be the person next to you, the person behind you, your child, your grandchild that actually fulfills that purpose. That's where we have to walk by faith, not by sight. We have to trust that if we run after what God calls us to, that even if we don't see it completed, God is honored in our faith and our efforts. Abraham did get to see his son born. Look at verse 11 and 12, because Abraham's wife was named Sarah. And it says in verse 11 and 12, it talks about her faith. It says, it was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. Though she was barren and too old, she believed that God would keep his promise. And so a whole nation came from this one man who was as good as dead. Sorry, that just cracks me up when I read that. I'm like, boy, he must have been far down the line, you know what I'm saying? He was as good as dead. A nation with so many people that the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore, there is no way to recount them. And if you know anything about the Hebrew people, they are all over the world in many nations. Too many to count. Fulfilling this prophecy even today from thousands of years ago. Will you have enough faith that if the Lord puts something on your heart, you will pursue it and believe it even if you don't ever see it? That's a pretty big leap of faith. Sarah here, she was also old, too old to have children, and yet she had faith to have a child. Now, what's interesting is their kid's name, Abraham and Sarah's kid's name, mean laughter. Because both Abraham and Sarah at one point laughed at the idea of them having a child. And that, to me, just encourages me, because there's sometimes that I just look at what God calls me to do. I go, there ain't no way, God. You're looking at the wrong guy. Let me suggest a couple of folks, Lord, that you talk to do that task. Because they're much more equipped, much more qualified. I would think that in this room, a lot of you have had the same thought. The Lord has nudged you to do some things, to attempt something for him. And you thought, nah, not me, Lord. I'm just a teenager. Surely you wouldn't want me to do that. Why don't you get my mom or dad to do that? They've like been Christians a long time. They could do that, Lord. Or Lord, why don't you get my spouse to do that? They grew up in church, God. They know so much more of that Bible. Why don't you ask them to do it? I think they would do a better job. When God calls you to do something, it will give you a crisis of faith, and you may even laugh. But it's just like he was talking about. Each one of those things that you step out and you say, yes, Lord, builds your faith even stronger. It's like flexing a muscle. The more you work out, the stronger you get, right? Okay? Same thing in our faith. The more you exercise faith, the stronger your faith gets. The more you say, yes, Lord, the more he shows up, the more you realize how big he is. Well, you got Sarah, you got Abraham. They're all normal people. Number three, attempt big things for God. Expect great things from God. Attempt big things for God, expect great things from God. God wants to change this world. He does. He wants love to win. He wants the end of the day to be his love to pour out all over everybody. We treat each other with mutual respect. We have a relationship with God, with each other. He wants that. And so when we're doing what he calls us to do, we're on his team. It's like we're on the same team he is on. And he's going to do supernatural things to accomplish what he wants to do. And so I want to challenge you to attempt great things for God. I was just had a conversation after first service with a man in our church. And he's like, man, he said, you really just kind of hit me between the eyes. I said, what do you mean? He said, there's something that I felt like God's been nudging me to do for a couple of months now. He said, but I just kept thinking, I'm not equipped, I'm not a leader, somebody else should do this, they would do a better job. And he said, today I felt very clearly that the Lord said, this is what I need to do. What is it that God's saying to you to attempt? What if you fail? So what? Sometimes we learn more from our failures than our successes, am I right? You'll succeed in 0% of things that you never try in. 0%. We've got to attempt things for God and expect things from God. Look at verse 32 to 35. He says, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories and faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle, put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. Wow, that sounds cool, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like what we all want? Wouldn't it be awesome if, like, the Lord used you to, like, close the mouth of a lion? Like, if you had that kind of boldness and the whole city was watching, waiting for you to get eaten alive, and all of a sudden the lions just bowed down and wouldn't eat. Man, those are the kind of things I used to romanticize as a new Christian. I'd read about Daniel and the lions, and I was like, oh, yeah, I want to be Daniel. Yeah. I'd read about the prophets, and they'd speak boldly before the king without fear. I'm like, yeah, that's what I want. But then you read a couple chapters later, and they're dead. You read a couple chapters later, and they're beaten to death. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know, Lord. What if I just do like that Baruch guy that just writes it all down for the other fellow? What if I just write it down, you know? Well, if God tells you to write it down and you're obedient, that's just as much act of faith as bringing the message before the king. Okay? Enoch, we don't read of him doing anything so amazing, so wild, but he was faithful. He sought after God. If you follow after God, there will be those times of celebration like we just read about. And I want you to know that. I want you to know that if God leads you to do something, he can do it whether you're equipped or not. He can equip you. But just know it's not going to be easy. The fourth thing is push through the opposition and persecution. Push through the opposition and persecution. I find that most people aren't celebrated for their faith until after they're dead. Most people that are celebrated for their faith is after they're dead. We read their works later and they're just ordinary men and women serving God in everyday lives and God was doing great things through them. But most people don't know about them until later. And we read their stories, we're like, wow, that's inspiring. Verse 35 to 40 says this, but others, so you have the story of the people closing the mouth of lions, right? And doing these amazing things. And then it says, but others. That could be you and I. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed by the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over the deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. Reality is, if you follow Christ and you walk in faith, sometimes it's going to be scary. And sometimes people are going to mock you and they're going to laugh at you. But sometimes it's just in your head. I remember being a new believer, just a year or two old in my faith, and we were going to Christmas Eve, and I felt like when I prayed, because I was praying for all my family. I got like 42 cousins, and I had 11 aunts and uncles, and not, well, 11 aunts, 11 uncles. I mean, so anyway, I mean, my mom had 11, yeah, a bunch of people. Anyway, and you go there for Christmas Eve, it was standing room only just about. And I remember being a new believer, so wanting my family to know Christ and praying for them. And then as I prayed for them, best I understood it, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart and said, ask him if you can read the Christmas story tonight. And I was like, no, Lord, that's not a good idea. You know, that's not a good idea. That they don't even believe in God. That's going to be bad. And as best I understood it, the Lord wouldn't release me. So I went to my aunt that was hosting it. I said, Aunt, would you be willing to let me read the Bible story tonight? She's like, I don't care. I was like, bummer. You know, I was hoping she'd say no, you know. So I was like, I tried, Jesus, I tried, you know. She's like, I don't care. I was like, okay. So that night, before we opened the presents, and you know what, everybody's just waiting to open the presents, right? And she's like, Steve said he wanted to read the Christmas story. I'm like, okay. And I read the Christmas story. And I don't know that anybody heard a thing. It may have just been for me. It may have literally been so that Steve Taboo could grow in his faith. Nobody got saved that night and became a Christian. A couple of my cousins have since then. Maybe that put planted a seed in their heart. I don't know. Here's what I know, though. I saw that I didn't die from it. And I had more faith the next time. When God speaks to your heart and tells you to do something, maybe it's a mission trip. Brian's going to talk about mission trips in a minute. Maybe it scares you to death to go somewhere outside your comfort zone and serve orphans. If so, you probably just need to do it. Maybe the Lord's telling you, hey, you need to go minister to the two-year-olds. That scares some of us to death more than going overseas, right? But maybe that's why you just need to do it. What is it that the Spirit of God is saying to you? Will there be difficulty? Sure. But God can use it. There's some great biographies of folks. At truthfulwords.org, you can get these short biographies that will encourage you and inspire you. You can jot that down, truthfulwords.org, or you can go to Voice of the Martyrs and get some great biographies of men and women of God, some that you will have never heard of because they didn't get any big publicity while they were alive. But their lives shifted people for eternity. One of those men is C.T. Studd. You may have never heard of him. I hadn't heard of him until I got to India on a mission trip. I'm in India in this village that very few believers have ever been to, and there's this young believer, he's on fire for the Lord, and he is like leveraging everything he has for the work of God. He's living on rice and beans, and he's trying to raise a family and minister to all these people, and the Lord just really gave me a special place in my heart for this young man. And I went in his house. They didn't have stuff on their walls. They just didn't have money for stuff on their walls. But he had these writings by C.T. Studd, these quotes. And I'm like, who is C.T. Studd? I've never heard of the guy. He's like, oh, you haven't heard of C.T. Studd? I mean, he was all excited to tell me about C.T. Studd. C.T. Studd was a cricketer. How many of you know of a cricketer? Right? Plays cricket. Back in the late 1800s, cricket was like the most important sport in the world. Because the British Empire ruled the world in many capacities, cricket was the sport of the world. And C.T. Studd was the captain of the British team. And while he was on the team, they won the international championship against Australia. It was a big deal, and it was a big thing. He was famous for being this amazing athlete. And then his brother got sick and almost died. And he searched his heart. He said, you know what? What good does it do if I can do all this athletic achievement and then it's all for nothing once I die? He felt the call of God on his life. Stopped right in the prime of his career, shocked the whole world, and became a missionary. And he warned everybody. He's like, look, it's not easy, but it's what God's called me to. And he had this quote. He said, some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. And that was what this young man had on his wall. And this young man's vision was that other people may want to go, and they may want to pastor a church in a town like Cookeville, Tennessee. But he wanted to be where the gospel had never been presented. And this young man now is leading the charge to an area of India called Bihar that the gospel has been hindered to enter for a long time. And we've been keeping up with him, and he has seen over 1,000 house churches started in the last 10 years. Because he has vision. Yeah, amen. It's awesome. It's awesome. He believes in a God that if we have the faith of a mustard seed, God can move mountains. Well, the last thing on your listening God, if you look at the bottom, I want you all to look at the bottom for just a minute. I want you to interact with it. It says, what big act of faith is God asking you to attempt? I want you to bow your head with me. If you would, please. I want you to just listen for just a moment in the quietness for the voice of the Lord. Maybe it's somebody you just need to ask forgiveness for. Maybe it's school you need to attend. Maybe it's a Bible study you need to start. What big thing is God speaking to you? Just take a step of faith right now. Would you be so bold as to write it on your paper? If for anyone you wrote down to give your life to God, then I want to invite you to do that today. The first step for all these heroes of the faith was to place their faith in God. If you've never done that, the first step is to pray and just say, God, I want to give you my life. It's to turn away from your sins of your past and ask forgiveness and to confess Jesus as Savior. If God is speaking to your heart, then pray this prayer to the Lord and to yourself, following after me now. Dear God, today I give you my life. I want to ask your forgiveness for the garbage of my past. I want to confess Jesus Christ as my Savior and King. And I want to live for you forever. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen.